Hey friends, mile marker 15.
Yeah, this is a big one, coming up on Phantom Ranch.
Yeah, Phantom Ranch is an awesome thing. We were really actually looking forward to this mile marker ever since the beginning of the hike. We had heard about this place called Phantom Ranch. Mm-hmm. It's the only place at the bottom of the Grand Canyon where there's actual lodging. So you come across some different campgrounds, but this is the only place that has an actual cabin, places you could stay. There's a ranger station there, and even a little market where you can purchase some different food or drinks on the way.
Yeah, it was just nice coming up on a place of kind of some civilization on this hike where we didn't see many people. It's actually the confluence of the Bright Angel Creek and the Colorado River. So it's just kind of a big landmark to get to. You feel like you've accomplished something. It's a great chance to kind of get some food or some water. And the ranger actually said it would be 105 degrees in the shade. So that gives you kind of an idea for how hot it would be.
Yeah, it was baking while we were at the bottom down there, and we knew it was going to be difficult on the way up in the heat. We had 9 miles to go, basically all uphill. So a big journey ahead. And what was really interesting about being at Phantom Ranch, as Matthew said, is it's the place these rivers connect. So you can take a rafting journey at the bottom of the canyon and they'll take a stop for you here at Phantom Ranch. So we come rolling in there after walking miles and miles and for hours, and we see this group of people at a picnic table looking like they're having the time of their lives.
Yep, it looked great.
We're exhausted, and we start talking to them about how they got there. They let us know that they're part of one of those rafting excursions. And so honestly, as we left from Phantom Ranch and continued on our hike, we started having a conversation among our group about what it might be like to be on that rafting trip, where the rest of their journey is literally sitting on the side of a raft. And the Colorado River was running quickly, so I don't think they were paddling much. And instead for us, it's we have to climb all the way out of here. So it's really easy to start to compare the different journeys that we had and start to think theirs might be nicer than ours at this moment. And I would say this, I think when you're in a struggle, when you're in a difficulty, in a season that might feel like a valley, it's so easy to just get stuck in a place of comparison, where you get discouraged because you think everybody else around me, things are going well for them, their life's easier than mine, they have no idea what I'm dealing with, and we get stuck in this place of comparison and complaining, and it leads to discouragement. And so I want to encourage you, if that might be you, that today that you would fix your eyes not on other people, but on the path that God has for you, that you would fix your eyes on who He is and what He's doing in your life, what He's building in you, even in the midst of this valley. And in fact, there's a powerful verse that I want to point to your attention here today. It's Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us."
Yeah, although it was easy to compare to the rafters, we knew what we had set out to do, and that's what made it easy for us to kind of regroup and take on this next part of the hike together. So let's just stay focused and continue on the race that we're on. Today's speakers are extra special to us and have impacted so many for the kingdom of God. We look up to them so much and are honored to introduce our parents, Kevin and Cindy McGinley. They have faithfully served as the pastors of Southgate Church for over 30 years and are just as passionate today for God and His church as they have ever been. Our dad was the unsung hero of the Rim to Rim hike as he dropped us off at the North Rim and then he drove 211 miles to pick us up on the other side. He leads Fourth Quarter Ministries, which is raising up champions among men and women to live with purpose and build God's kingdom in their retirement years. They have 8 kids, 2 daughters-in-law, and 10 grandkids. You will get to hear more about our family's journey from them.
In the midst of heartbreak and disappointment, you can trust that God has a plan. Amid confusion and waiting, when you don't always understand what He's doing, you can trust that God is working things out for your good and His glory. After our first 3 years of marriage, my wife Cindy and I were excited to start our family.
We began to make our plans, but then the unexpected happened. We experienced infertility and were unable to conceive. We prayed and took steps medically, but there was no progress. As months turned into years, we found ourselves crying out to God each night as we prayed together, oftentimes through tears. At times, we were so overwhelmed with sorrow, We even ask God to take away the desire if it was not His will for us to have children.
In our lowest times, we wondered if God had forgotten us. But we discovered God never forgets, never forsakes, never lets us down. He always comes through. As we trusted God during this difficult time in the valley, He began a work in our hearts. He stirred within us a desire to adopt a child. I'll never forget the day our adoption agency called, telling us we had been matched with a beautiful 6-week-old baby boy. I raced home from work, and Cindy and I held our child in our arms for the first time. A short time after the adoption, miraculously, the Lord enabled us to conceive. We had 3 more boys by birth. We marveled at how God had answered all those tear-stained prayers, giving us 4 very active boys in a span of just 7 years.
But God wasn't done. We realized He had used that time of infertility, as painful as it was, to put adoption on our hearts. The Lord prompted us to pursue adopting a girl from China, where their one-child policy was causing many girls to be abandoned. Again, we began to pray each night that the Lord would provide the necessary funds and match us with the baby girl He had for us. However, the door closed, and we were not able to pursue adoption from China. We were devastated and confused. Again, we thought we were pursuing the very thing God told us to do, and we were blocked from doing it. But God had another plan. The door opened for us to adopt a baby girl from Vietnam. We left our 4 boys, at that time ages 2 to 9, and traveled to Vietnam to bring a sweet baby girl into our family. But God still wasn't done. We adopted another daughter from Korea. Then, as God so wonderfully does, He resurrected the vision to adopt from China. He miraculously opened the way, provided the funds, and enabled us to adopt 2 beautiful Chinese girls in 2 separate trips to China.
What a journey it has been, from infertility to 8 children and 10 grandchildren. We discovered the truth of Ephesians 3, verse 20. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine. We realized that God heard every prayer during our time of infertility. We learned He was at work even when we didn't see it. Here's the thing. Cindy and I desperately wanted a baby. God wanted a family for 5 children who didn't have one. We wanted to start a family. God wanted to expand His. He had a bigger plan, a redemptive plan that enlarged our hearts and gave 5 children a home. Psalm 68 declares, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in His holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families." God was sovereignly orchestrating His plan, taking us through the valley of infertility and bringing us out on the other side with 4 sons and 4 daughters. It reminds me of the story of Hannah in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 1 chronicles her journey through the valley. Scripture says the Lord had closed her womb. Like us, she was unable to have children, and she felt the pain of barrenness. So, year after year, when her husband Elkanah would go up to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord, Hannah would weep and cry out to God for a child. But God had something bigger in mind, and He was working in the unseen to bring it about.
God brought Hannah to a place of surrender. She aligned her heart with God's heart and said, "Lord Almighty, if You will only look on Your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget Your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life." She made an altar in the valley and placed her desire for a son there and worshiped. The Bible says God remembered her. Hannah was not forgotten. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. As she nursed her son and bonded with him, imagine how difficult it must have been to carry out the vow she had made to the Lord. She had to give up the son she had pleaded with God for, but still she followed through. Hannah took her son back to Shiloh, went into the house of the Lord, and dedicated him to the Lord. She said, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." By God's grace, Hannah fulfilled her vow, and in an act of full surrender, placed her boy in the arms of God.
That boy's name was Samuel, and he grew up in the house of the Lord, called by God to lead Israel in the ways of the Lord. Here's the thing. You see, Hannah wanted a baby, but God wanted a prophet to call his people back to him. Hannah wanted a son, but God needed a Samuel who would turn the tide of sin and rebellion in God's people. When Hannah aligned her heart with God's purposes, she got to participate in the bigger plan God had all along. What about you? Are you in a place of waiting for God to fulfill his plan in your life? Have you felt the sting of disappointment and heartbreak? Perhaps you are crying out to him for children. Perhaps you're trusting him for your future husband or wife. Maybe you're facing financial challenges and need God's provision. Or maybe you're going through a time of mental anguish and emotional difficulty. In your valley, know this: God hears every cry of your heart. Even in the silence, even in the confusion, trust him, knowing he is working out his plan. Take some time right now to align your heart with his, to fully surrender your will to him as Hannah did. God is your father, the one who has called you his own, the one who has adopted you into his family. Romans 8:15 states, "You did not receive a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father."
Your spirit is life. Your spirit is life. When hell tries to lie and cloud out the light, I know you see right through to me. Your spirit is life. Your spirit is peace. Your spirit is peace. The noise when life mutes your voice, I hear you speak right through to me. Your spirit is peace. Over fear and over pain, Lord, over all anxiety, over doubt, over shame, God of my every victory. When I say it can't be done, that's where your hand starts moving. When I think it's too far gone, that's where you just get started. You're just getting started. Your spirit is whole. Your spirit is whole. When I've lost control at the end of my road, I'll let you break right through to me. Your spirit is whole. Over fear and over pain, Lord, over all anxiety, over doubt, over shame, God of my every victory. When I say it can't be done, that's where your hand starts moving. When I think it's too far gone, that's where you're just getting started. Oh, you're just getting started. When I'm at my end, that's where your role begins. When I'm at my worst,
That's where your light breaks in. When I see a mountain, you see a floor. When I see no way out, you see a door. I trust in you. I trust in you. When I'm at my end, that's where your all begins. When I'm at my worst, that's where your light breaks in. When I see a mountain, you see a floor. When I see no way out, you see a door.
Our Father, we do cry out to you as your sons, as your daughters. Grant us grace to trust you in the valley of heartache, confusion, and waiting. Give us grace to set up an altar, a place of surrender, a place of sacrifice, of praise and worship. We align our hearts with your heart, your plans. We believe that you work all things for our good, for we love you and are called according to your purpose. Help us to know that in the darkness of the valley, you are our faithful, loving Father who lights our way by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we can ask, think, or imagine. To you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for walking with us, and join us tomorrow as we cross the Colorado River and get ready for the ascent.